It will start on Thursday, December 4th and end on Saturday, December 6th. We are looking to raise $20,000 over these 3 days. We're also happy to announce that we have secured a $5,000 match thanks to the generosity of the Juan Young Trust, Vernier Software, SSI Shredding Systems, and the Wendy Foundation. This means if you've never given to KBOO, your donation will be doubled. If you give to us monthly and you give an additional one-time gift, that donation will be matched. If you give more to us this year than last year, then the difference will be matched. You can donate early by going to kboo.fm/give. Thank you for supporting your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
It's 11 a.m. And yes, you are tuned to KBOO Portland. And coming up next is Stage and Studio with guest host Sirika Mehta. And she features three dancers from the Oregon Ballet Theater. Then stay tuned at 11:30 for metal artist Greg Wilbur, mixed media artist Keeney Rathbun, and multimedia artist Lisa Kaser. They talk about the art of the alphabet at the Waterstone Gallery, so you won't want to miss that. And also, you know, you've just heard it, today is Giving Tuesday. So be generous with your support, and thank you for your generous support. So now let's go to Stage and Studio.
I'm Sarika Mehta, sitting in for Dime Roberts, and this is Stage and Studio. The music you're listening to is from The Nutcracker, an upcoming performance by the Oregon Ballet Theater. The performance runs December 13th through the 27th at the Keller Auditorium. For more information, visit the Oregon Ballet website at obt.org. In the spirit of the season, we have some very special guests in the studio. Today we're featuring three wonderful dancers from the Oregon Ballet Theater. First, we have Xuan Cheng, who is a principal dancer originally from China and has been with the company since 2011. We also have Ye Li, a company soloist, and he is also from China and also has been with OBT since 2011. Finally, Gohei Kuwana is a company artist. He hails from Japan and he has been with the company since 2013. Welcome to Stage and Studio, Xuan, Ye, and Gohei.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
Let's begin by talking a little bit about yourselves and your background in dance, in ballet.
Okay.
Okay, Xuan, you want to start?
Yeah. My name is Xuan Cheng, and I'm from China. And I'm a principal dancer with Oregon Ballet Theater. And this is my fourth season with the company.
Yeah, my name is Ye Li, so I'm from China too, and this is my fourth season in Oregon Ballet Theater too, and I'm a soloist in Oregon Ballet Theater.
Hi, my name is Kohei Kuwana from Japan, and this is my second season with Oregon Ballet Theater, and I'm a company artist.
So welcome everybody, and thank you for being here today. First, tell me about your training in your home countries in ballet and in dance in general. Xuan, do you want to start?
Sure. I started dancing when I was 5, just for fun. In my little hometown, we have... actually, my father works at like a cultural center for the young children who want to start art and just at like after school time. And so I have the chance I can study. And my father asked me, what do you want to learn? There's dance, singing, like painting, piano. And then I choose, I said, I want to dance. So that's how it got started. But for serious, it's when I was 10. Guangzhou Ballet have the school. They are actually they are auditioning for little dancers. And so I was I went to audition, and I get in. So I left my hometown, moved to Guangzhou. And we have Russian training. But also we have like Chinese teacher, so it's like a combination with Vaganova Russian training and Chinese like ballet. So it's like a combination for 5 years. Then I went to Guangzhou Ballet when I was 16, joined the company. that's how it all get started.
And so you were dancing for nearly 10 years before you went into it professionally, so to speak?
More than 10 years. Yeah, wow. When I was 10, basically we start like professional dance training for 5 years. So we all live in a dorm. Like we don't go out.
Oh, we're living in a dorm.
It's a dorm. It's like Russian training. Like we have canteen, we have studio, and we start academic cultural school. So it's all in one station.
Right.
And we don't go out. We can go out buy some grocery like every week, something like that. And for 5 years. And after I joined the company, and the company also, it's like big systems too. Like we have studio, the dancers have apartment, and we also have canteen. So it's all like in a very like a compact.
Right. You're pretty much limited to that area.
I was with the company for 6 years.
Okay.
Then I went to Canada.
Oh, okay.
And 2011, I'm here.
You came here to Oregon. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
And Ye, was your experience similar to Xuan's?
Yeah, it's really similar. We're from different ballet school, but after the same thing. I'm in the ballet school for learning for 6 years. And after that, I joined the Guangzhou Ballet Company. I'm staying in Guangzhou Ballet in 11 or 12 years, I don't remember. And after that, I went to Canada too. And after Canada, Oregon Ballet Theatre.
And Kohei, how about your experience growing up with ballet?
My experience is my mother is a ballet teacher, and that's how I started. But at the same time, I was playing soccer. But when I was in 13, no, when I was in 14, my mother was taking videos when I was in class. And so she sent that video to Canada, actually. Canada's National Ballet School in Toronto. And she told me after a few weeks later, she's like, oh, you're going to Canada, by the way. And I was like, okay.
You had no idea she was trying to make this career move for you.
So after that, I went to Toronto, same professional ballet school for 4 years. And after I graduated the ballet school, I went to San Francisco Ballet School and Orlando Ballet too. And I was actually having hard time to get working visa in the United States. And there's one place can give me O-1 visa, which means artistic visa. And I spent there for a year. And I went to Sarasota Ballet and I joined Oregon Ballet Theater.
So you all have obviously been dancing since you were children for most of your lives now. What are some of the differences that you find in the training in your home countries versus the training that you see here in the U.S. And as well as the styles?
I think so. The training we had in China, so in the school, of course, it's all very strict. And there's certain style we can do or we not. And even when you join the company, because it's a big classical company, and we worked very hard, and the artist director is very strict and very nurturing you, like because
they're nurturing you,
nurturing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think because it's a big company, so they try to get everyone uniformed, the same style. And here I feel it's style dancing-wise, everyone got show you more your personality, and there's certain of freedom. But also because we're dancer right now, it's not in the school, so it's a little bit different. You know, in the school, the teacher told you to do this and that, and here, right now, because we're professional dancer, sometimes you of course you have to do the steps right, but you will have a choice to do artistically wise, you have a choice. You can do maybe this or that. I mean, as long as it fits in the right ballet and the right style. And I feel like that's when I was very young, when I danced in China. So the coach there and the director there, they're more like feeding me stuff. Because, of course, I'm young.
And you're learning,
I'm
right.
learning. Of course, I also get like a lot of information too, but I feel I take more response to myself, by myself. Yeah, I think that's what I feel, yeah.
Okoye, do you have anything that you want to add to that? And the difference in styles and training in Japan and China versus here in the US?
I feel like more, especially, for example, Japan. Mm-hmm. Japan is like, it's not coming to America to learning professional ballet or anything. There is a lot of different kind of people, different thought, different thinking, you know. That's actually a very good experience to come here and learn from, for example, like Russian guy or French guy or any people, any teacher can teach you different way because they have experience, they have a knowledge to share.
Yeah.
And sometimes it fits, sometimes it doesn't. So like you have to kind of figure it out. Which teacher will help you most?
Which is fit for you?
Yeah, fit for you.
Because also I feel the, for me I feel because the culture is different too. Like if we do a classical ballet, and in China if there's a character, and there's ways you represent it, but because the culture is different, there's certain ways to do it, and also here you see. There's so many different dancers too. Like it's because in China we only have Chinese dancers,
right?
Yeah, and right. Here you have like here right now we have Chinese, Japanese, and
Cuban, now.
Cuban, and what else?
American, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But you also American is so big too, and everyone mm-hmm. from different places. It's also different style. Yeah, so you can. You can see a lot of things, and you can pick, like, oh, this dancer, I can learn from there. Oh, that's good, I can learn it too. Just, you have to make your own choice sometime to feel which is better for me, yeah.
That's a really good explanation and a good transition to my next question. But before I get to that, Ye, did you want to add anything to what Xuan and Kohei were saying?
I don't know. In China, definitely we're working harder than here. That's for sure. I mean, it's kind of like before in China, the training is kind of like an army thing. So there is no, you can't say no. So you basically need
you
to do again
it.
Again and again. The teacher believe, I mean, it's true. The teacher believe if you're, for example, if you're in studio, you're dancing one row every day, dancing five times, six times. For sure, you're tired. But when you're on stage, you just only do one time. Then the one time feels like a piece of cake. So then, for sure, on stage, you will looking better. But sometime in here, you know, sometimes we don't have that much rehearsal. So sometimes you feel, maybe I want a little bit more. But, you know, the time just that much. So you can't really have that long rehearsal. But, I mean, sometimes we focus different ways. Special, like in China... Also, in China, the company is a really, really classical company. So it's all classical roles. So basically, you doing somebody else, like you're a prince, or you're a swan, or you're something. You're not yourself. So basically, you're a character. You play a character. So basically, the teacher will teaching you how to be the character. And even little step. Every single step, and every you give the hands, you smile, and which direction you're looking. So it's kind of like a really little detail things. But in here, for sure, it's like a, I don't know, it's like a more free. You can you can have you, like Xuan says, you have your own personality. So, I mean, just different. I think,
it's
I guess
different.
It's just different thing, different
yeah,
style.
Different
you know?
Style. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm guest host and producer Sarika Mehta, sitting in for Dime Roberts. If you missed any of this show, you can hear it again on stageandstudio.org. Today we're featuring three ballet dancers from the Oregon Ballet Theater. In studio, we have Xuan Cheng, Ye Li, and Kohei Kuana. Their upcoming performance, The Nutcracker, runs December 13th through the 27th at the Keller Auditorium. We've been discussing the differences between the training and rehearsal styles in the U.S., China, and Japan. Do the three of you prefer one over the other? I mean, the American in me says, oh yeah, we should be able to have the style that we want. But at the same time, I recognize ballet as a classical art form, and oftentimes you are portraying a character too that's its perfection. Do you have a preference of one over the other?
There is always a good side and a bad side. I mean, if we can merge everything together, you know. But I also feel it's a little bit different because we here, the schedule and the season, like you planning ahead, and we do different season, the shows. So like for Nutcracker, we have how many weeks? For rehearsal, like here we do rehearsal, bun 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 bun, then show. And in China, because also it's a different system, like marketing. Sometimes you have half year to prepare something. Like you have a longer time to prepare.
That's true.
So it's a little bit different working systems too. Of course, for me, I will prefer working very hard and, you know, working maybe like more time if I have.
You prefer having more time to rehearse for a show.
Rehearse. Like I will prefer I have more time to rehearse a show. I be prepared and mm-hmm. then on stage I can feel free. Yeah.
And how about Ye and Kohei? How do you feel about that?
Ballet is art. One of the art, so the art thing is always like a ball, like a circle. So they have rules, but also it's a circle. It's not like an Olympic. If you run, you run. Sometimes you do something, and certain people love you, but certain people don't. You know, so you can't really say this is wrong or that's wrong. They have rules, but somehow it's hard to tell. You need to find something. For you, for yourself, you know, it's kind of, yeah, I feel that way. You know, you need to find something and do your best. And for sure, you're going to learn tons of different things from other people or other dancer or the teacher or something. But also, the most important thing, I think you need to find something for you, you know, and you do your best. And feels like sometimes I feel special classical is kind of like, what do you call that thing?
A coloring
book?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. kind of like that. For example, I think the classical is like a, if they wrote a prince, right? And you can put any color you want in the prince, in the color book, but you can't go out. If you in the line, that's fine. But the color, you can choose whatever you want. You know, you need to find your own thing, but the right thing, yeah.
No, thank you. That was a very good way to explain it. Because my question was really, when you have more time to prepare for a show, I understand that you feel more confident. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel burned out of a show or a performance?
No, I never felt that.
How about you? Maybe sometimes like thinking too much is not working right.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're working too hard. Or something like that, and mm-hmm. the steps doesn't go right. So sometimes let go more, be free, but sometimes you need to think, focus, and to do the right thing.
Yeah, it's a very hard thing to do, and of course, like you're always looking for perfection, but they will never be perfect. So just try the best. And like for me, I have to, like mentally wise, sometimes, like, you know, during the show or something doesn't work out. And I just need to tell myself it's already finished. And I will be like, oh my God, what I did. But I'm like telling myself, like, okay, it's fine, it's fine. It's already finished. You just do another one and it can be better.
Right. I wanted to go back to something that you were talking about before, which is that the Oregon Ballet Theater has a pretty diverse company of dancers. Mm-hmm. As far as I understand, this is not very common in ballet, even in American ballet. Is this common for Oregon Ballet Theater, or is this an exceptional year? And how has that impacted your dancing?
I think there is always...
There is always some international.
Yeah. For Oregon Ballet Theater.
Oregon Ballet Theater, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's really great to hear.
We're very lucky. Yeah, to be here. Yeah.
Especially for the men who are here today. In the U.S., it's not very common for men to be in ballet companies. In the home countries and in here in the U.S., have they been welcoming environments? What are your experiences?
It's really strange. For me, when I was learning ballet when I was in public school, not before I'm going to professional school, people were fine. My classmate was okay. Like, you know, I didn't have an issue to, like, you know, have a problem or anything like that. But I understand this career is a little bit special, because if you ask your parents, I want to be a professional dancer, your parents might be like, maybe you have to, like, think about it a little bit more. But sometimes you have to try whatever you believe, because if you didn't try and you gave up, maybe you could be a star, but you never know. So sometimes you have to actually try it. Then if it's not works out, then find some another choice. But for me, it works out. I'm enjoying. I can visit a lot of country. Now I can speak English, so I can communicate with, like, a lot of people. So I'm happy.
Wonderful. And Ye, do you want to add something?
For me, when I started to learning ballet, it's kind of like my mom's idea. I even don't know what is ballet. In my mind, it's kind of dancing is a girly thing, you know. So, but I mean, in that time in China, you don't have a choice. If your parents give you a career to choose you for you the career, so. So that's why I did, but I think we start a couple years, and after years, start to enjoying it and find they have a lot different things, and it's really, really fun. And sometimes the fun you can't really tell, you know, it's like you know it, and your friends know it, but you can't really tell them how's the fun goes. It's hard. I think it's the most hard job in the whole world, but you love it. And for sure, you hate your job sometimes. You hate it. You just couldn't do that thing in the end 1 second. You couldn't have the... I mean, it's really hard. Sometimes you hate yourself so much, but on the other hand, you love it. I don't know how to explain it, but you just enjoy it. So sometimes you don't care other people, what they say, what they do. You just want to do it.
I think that's an excellent way to explain that. I have one question about the Nutcracker performance that is coming up in the next month. There is a scene, the Chinese tea dance. So again, in this country, traditionally, ballet was not very diverse. And so it will usually be white dancers in the makeup and the costumes who are doing this dance. So I'm curious how this will function for the Oregon Ballet Theater.
It's just a character.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nothing really...
Yeah, I mean, I guess the 60s. I asked one of the choreographers, I said, because in Chinese, you always doing something like everybody's fingers like this. So I asked the choreographers, like, why we do that? I'm Chinese, but I never do that. And he tell me, he says, oh, I think that means
chopsticks.
Holding chopsticks, right?
I say, that's weird, but you I don't know. I mean, just basically, I figured out at the beginning, I try to understand why it's like that, because we're not like that. At the end, I can't really figure out what is it, but just be it. That's your character. That's your job, and you're supposed to be there. You know?
So do you all have to follow that choreography?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you all do it. Yeah.
So in this production, you're all going to be playing characters in the Chinese tea dance?
Yes, yeah. Me and Ye will be performing Chinese.
Yeah.
Some part, for example, like as you said, like we were talking about a Chinese dance, but there is a section we will dance Spanish dance. Spanish will be like more passions, mm-hmm. and like, you know, like salsa, tango, kind of those kind of image, not like dancing stuff, more like passion, like, I don't know, dancing more sharp or anything like that. And also the, like, talking about the last topic was like, for me, it's like, it's just the who's a choreographer made a nutcracker. There's a lot of character, we just follow. And it's sometimes really funny to see what choreography you think. Like, for example, okay, for the nutcracker, the second act, I want to invite, you know, a lot of countries, people to celebrate, for example. Then, okay, for example, Spanish, what do you imagine? Like, more longer dress, not like tutu, and red lipstick, and...
and the men, they draw, you know, like they have mustache and...
Yeah, more costume is like more Spanish costume, you know. It's like seams and costumes and the dance style in much. It's sometimes to, like, for example, like Chinese dance or Arabian dance. It's just the, I guess, like first impact of the imagination of those countries. For example, like what the Ye was saying, the Chinese tea and, you know, maybe like if you think about Asia, what they have in Asia? Oh, tea. They have a good tea, you know.
Oh, Xuan and Ye and Kohei, thank you so much for joining me here at Stage and Studio.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. It's fun.
That was Xuan Cheng, Ye Li, and Kohei Guana, all dancers from the Oregon Ballet Theater. Their upcoming performance, The Nutcracker, runs December 13th through the 17th at the Keller Auditorium. For tickets and more information, visit the Oregon Ballet Theater website at obt.org. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to KBOO engineer Janet Anderson. If you missed any of this show, visit stageandstudio.org. You can also download shows at iTunes. And don't forget to like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet us at @stage_studio. I'm Sarika Mehta, sitting in for Dime Roberts. Thanks for listening.
Today is Giving Tuesday, a global day for giving back. On Tuesday, December 2nd, charities, families, businesses, community centers, and students around the world will come together to celebrate generosity and to give. Go to kboo.fm now and click donate.
KBOO's mini December drive is right around the corner. It will start on Thursday, December 4th and end on Saturday, December 6th. We are looking to raise $20,000 over these 3 days. We're also happy to announce that we have secured a $5,000 match thanks to the generosity of the Juan Young Trust, Vernier Software, SSI Shredding Systems, and the Wendy Foundation. This means if you've never given to KBOO, your donation will be doubled. If you give to us monthly and you give an additional one-time gift, that donation will be matched. If you give more to us this year than last year, then the difference will be matched. You can donate early by going to kbu.fm/give. Thank you for supporting your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
And stay tuned for Art Focus. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market. Open daily December 17 through December 24 for the Festival of the Last Minute. Saturday Market offers handmade art, crafts, and other gifts created by artists from the Pacific Northwest and is located at Southwest Ankeny and NATO Parkway in Waterfront Park. Information at PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
Good morning and welcome to Art Focus. I'm Kathleen Stevenson, and here with me in studio are three artists from Waterstone Gallery. I'm speaking with Portland metal worker Greg Wilbur.
Hi, Kathleen.
Morning, Greg. Also with us is printmaker and sculptor Keeney Rathman, who is the director of the Waterstone Gallery. Welcome.
Good morning.
And also with us is Lisa Kaiser of the Waterstone Gallery. She is a multimedia artist. Thanks for coming in, Lisa.
Thank you, Kathleen.
We're going to be talking about the Art of the Alphabet. That's a group show of gallery artists at Waterstone this month. It opens today, is that right? Is it
That's
open?
Right.
Okay. And it goes through January 4th.
Correct.
So let's talk about the gallery first. Waterstone is a cooperatively run gallery run by the artists represented. How does that work?